You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
I hope you guys have been enjoying so far this sermon series on Imprint. Hope you guys have been challenged. I hope that there's a lot of you that has decided, you know what, God, I don't know how to do this. I think I need to show up and talk to you and ask you to produce this in me and to make this happen inside of my life. If that's the response that you're running into, that's a really good response. One of the things that I've really noticed in my own life, and as I've talked to other people, and I've spent time talking about spiritual gifts, talking about God actually controlling our lives, there's two major things and themes that keep coming up. And one of them is faith. That you have to have faith that God is actually sovereign, that God is actually in control, that God actually has a plan, and there's something that God wants to do, and for some reason, he's chosen imperfect humans to be a part of that process. So there's faith that we have. But right next to that faith is fear. And one of the things that I've noticed in my life is when I come into incredible moments of fear, that is an insane opportunity for faith. And so sometimes what happens is I get stuck on the fear. I don't transition. I don't move over to God. I don't move over to the faith aspect. I spend time worrying. So I go faith, nope, fear. Oh, fear, worry. Well, the other side of faith, the opposite of worry, is meditation. Worrying is meditating. Worrying is just meditating on the wrong things. Spiritual meditation is focusing on the promises of God and meditating on God. That's on the faith side. And so some of you guys are starting to bump into this and you're starting to feel this faith, fear situation. You're starting to move a little bit into the worry and the meditation situation. And I would just encourage you, welcome. That's the best way I could describe it. One of the things that when I get up here and I get to teach, one of the things that I have to be really careful with is I need to balance something that's incredibly hard. One of the things that I need to balance is the confidence and the belief and the courage that this is the truth, but not sound prideful. At the same time, I need to sound and communicate humility and depending on God and that he is in charge and I can do nothing, but I not sound like a coward. Do you guys ever feel that tension sometimes in your life? When you're trying to communicate something. And so last week when I was teaching, I had someone precious come to me this week and say, hey, pastor, I know you were teaching your heart out. I know you were excited about what you were talking about. But there was a portion when you were talking about the screen and you said, hey, I have most of these gifts. It just sounded really prideful. And so let me back up from that. If that sounded prideful to you, I am so sorry. That wasn't what I was trying to say. What I was trying to say is God has so wrecked my life and made me so uncomfortable in most of the ways up there on the screen. But what I'm trying to say is that I know that they're real. I know that they're true. And it doesn't matter what anybody comes to me and tells me. I didn't have a psychotic episode and it wasn't a hallucination. I am very aware that they are very real and they are very evident. And I think one of the things that God has done in my life is he has pushed me through those things so that I can stand and testify and say, yeah, this is what it is. And so if you heard some pride in me last week, then let me please say this. Let me be proud in Christ. Because there's nothing in that I can create or do in and of myself. That means that God Almighty had to produce it. God Almighty had to create it. And God Almighty had to bring it forward. Which brings me to my next thing that I'm going to struggle with as we keep talking through today. Is I'm trying to destroy an old way that I was trained and create a new saying. And when you have a habit of saying something some way and you try to change that habit, it's very difficult. Can we all agree? So one of the things that I was trained on when I came through church is my spiritual gift is. Anybody heard it that way? My spiritual gift is. The problem is that my means me. It goes to the individual and it goes to the person, and it becomes incredibly narcissistic, and it becomes incredibly prideful. I. The problem is the whole of Scripture teaches spiritual gifts in community, which is we. It's not I, it's us. It's not I, it's you. And so one of the things that I'm going to try to do is, and maybe you guys catch me when I say, well, my spiritual gift is, I'll mess up in that. And that's because of massive years of training. What I would like to transition to is a phrase of the gift I give to the body is. So yes, there is some individual in it, but the focus is the body. Does that make sense? Okay, so a little bit of setting some stuff up. And so as I go through teaching today and I make some mistakes, please auto-correct them for me. Okay, so we're in Imprint. And we're in the, and I don't know, do we have the first logo? Do we have the first logo with the three teals? Do we have that one? Imprint. Some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, Pastor went pagan. You know, the Wiccans. Ah, no, this is a very deep and old spiritual symbol. This is something that Christians created and crazy people got a hold of. And then Christians said, well, we can't have fun over there anymore because crazy people touched it. And I say, no. I say we go back and take good stuff back from crazy people, okay? What this symbol represents is the Trinity. There are three different petals. And you will see the three different petals, and you'll also see the three different petals touch and intertwine and connect, and then you will see the circle that goes all the way through in completeness, communicating the completeness of the Trinity and the connection of God Almighty, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that imprint of who God is on you. This has been placed on you from the beginning of time. When you were formed in your mother's womb and God Almighty breathed life into your body, his imprint was on you. Before you got here, his imprint has been on this earth. His majesty, his glory has been proclaiming how amazing he is. Our ability as humans to study God is called science. And we try to figure out how God did stuff. And then we try to see if we can recreate stuff. And we really don't do a very good job of it. But when we look at imprint, we have to sit back and we have to recognize that there's something that's been placed on us. And the reality is sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes God has placed faith on you, but it feels like fear. Sometimes God is telling you to meditate on his promises and his truths, and it feels like worry. And it's difficult to discern what's going on. And so today, we're going to talk about imprint, and we're going to talk about our spiritual gifts, and we're talking about discerning the gifts. Now, let me help you guys out with this. In the beginning, it's difficult, okay? In the beginning, like most things in life, as we do as humans, the first thing that we do, even as a child learning how to ride a bike, we crash a lot. But the child who gets on a bike and crashes one time and decides to give up doesn't learn how to ride a bike. The person who goes into a swimming pool and the first time they have that feeling of going under and they decide, I never want to do that again, they don't learn how to swim. That is true with Christians. When Christians move into the spiritual realm and we get into a place that's uncomfortable and we kind of crash or we feel like we're losing ourselves and we're losing control and we quit and we go, I'm done, I'm not going to do this anymore, we don't get to learn what they are. And so what I want to share with you guys is faith is right next to fear. So if you're starting to feel a little bit of fear, turn back to God and go, God, would you bless me with your courage? Would you give me the faith I don't have? Would you help me? Definitely don't try to produce something you can't create in your own, all right? Go ahead and go through the process. So let's have a little bit of fun as we jump into it. Some of you guys are going to know this first picture immediately when it comes up on the screen. This is one of those pictures that was came out in the 1980s, and it was very popularized. And there's two ways to see this picture. Some of you guys are going to see the picture, and you're going to see one image, and some of you guys are going to see another image, and then some of you guys are going to start to study it, and then you're going to see both images, and you're going to bounce back and forth between the two images. But the reality is in order to see what this image has to offer, you have to discern what you're seeing. Discerning what you're seeing means to take in the information that's being given to you. It means to compare and contrast. It means to allow your eyes to focus differently and to look on something and to see things from different angles and to practice it. That is the discerning process. Some of you guys, when you first looked at the picture, you discerned an old woman. How many of you guys, when you first saw the picture, discerned an old woman? So you saw them both. I know most of you saw them both. But who saw the old woman first? Oh, there's three of us. How many of you guys, when you first looked at the picture, saw the young woman? There's no other choice. I mean, the rest of you guys got it. I didn't see anything. Like, I can't even see the picture. Okay, now that I've said there's an old woman there, how many of you guys can see the old woman? How many of you guys didn't see the old woman before? How many of you guys didn't see the young woman? This is out of the three people who didn't see it before. Okay? So one of the things that we run into in discernment has to do with what you're focusing on. One of the things that I did, and this is not perfect, but one of the things I noticed is when I focused on the eyeball of the old lady, it either was an ear or an eyeball. And the moment that I decided in my brain what it was, that's what determined the picture for me. And I can switch back and forth. I can look at that image right there and decide it's an ear, and boom, it's an old lady. And then in my brain, I can decide it's an eyeball, and bam, it's a young lady. So it's all about perspective. Okay, this next one's a little bit harder, all right? Go ahead and go to the next picture for me. Okay, first of all, I want you guys to feel a little uncomfortable for a second, okay? Who do you see? Would somebody tell me who you see? Who do you see? Okay, you see Marilyn Monroe and you see Einstein. Who only sees Einstein? Who only sees Marilyn Monroe? Okay, so this week I'm sending the pictures and David sends me a text message back. Your picture's broken. I can see this. Okay, let me tell you what this image does. Okay, now I'm gonna tweak it and I'm gonna mess it up. Because I don't believe nearsighted and farsighted actually describe what's going on. But help me out with this one, okay? One of the ones, I believe if you're nearsighted. If you're nearsighted, you will probably see Marilyn Monroe first. If you're farsighted, you will see Einstein. For some of you guys, it's going to sound really funny. The further you are away from this picture, you will see Marilyn Monroe. The closer you are to the photo, you will see Einstein. So as you get closer to the photo, you can't see Marilyn Monroe at all. But the further you get away from the picture, you can see. What are you guys figuring out? Yeah, if you're blind, you see it perfectly. You're like, all of this, here's our application. This week, go see your eye doctor, all right? Now, for fun, at the very end of service, we'll put it back up again, and some of you guys can walk close to it, and you will totally just see Einstein, and you're like, there's no Marilyn Monroe at all, okay? But that, what I want you guys to get in your head is it takes discernment. It takes studying. Here's another thing that I need you to understand. It takes positioning. Your posture of where you stand. Let me tell you something right now. You put your hand over your eyes, you will not see either of them. And that's what some Christians do. Some Christians go, God, I don't want you to use me. God, I'm not going to read your word. God, I'm not going to go be around people who love you. God, I'm not going to see what you're doing in this world. And we put blinders on. And God loves us so much, he keeps peeling our fingers away, doesn't he? He's like, I'm still here. And you're like, ooh, okay, no, you're not. It's like, you just said, no, I'm not. We had just had a conversation. No, we didn't. Like, you know, like God's like, I'm here. And what I want you guys to understand is when it comes to spiritual gifts, you have to give it time and attention. Okay? It's not something that just comes quickly and easily. So last week we talked about what are the gifts. Today we're going to talk about discerning the gifts. And next week we're going to talk about using the gifts. And all of this is in the context of shape. In other words, if you just know one part of it, you don't understand God's imprint on your life. You need to understand the spiritual gifts that God has given you. That is a super important component. But if you don't know your spiritual gifts, you don't know who you are in Christ. The next one, your heart, how God made you, the things that you love, the passions that are inside of you. Until you really understand and come to grips with how God made you and what you care about and relax. Nobody else in the room cares about what you care about. Stop putting pressure on people to love K-pop. You love it. It's okay. Enjoy it. I'm mainly talking to my wife right now. Okay? But what I want you guys to get is you are unique and you are beautiful the way God made you. And then we start to learn about our personality, our abilities. And we learn about our personality. We learn about our experience. And we're going to keep walking through this. What I want you guys to understand is all of this builds together into who God made you. And a lot of times you're like, God, I don't know what you do. I don't know what you want to do with me in my life. God's like, because you don't even know how I made you. How in the world are you going to function when you don't know you? I just thought it would be easy. I would just show it up and wing it. And he's like, how's that strategy working? You're like, I can't hear you, God. 1 Peter 4:7-11. Peter is coming to the end of his life. He's one of the 12 apostles. He's walked with Jesus. Peter has made massive amounts of mistakes in his life. He has tried to do it in his own power. Read the Gospels and study Peter, and you will see the normal Christian trying to make spiritual things happen with human strength, human intellect, and human ability. It's not until the very end of the Gospels, when Jesus dies, that Peter starts to figure it out. The majority of the Gospels, Peter is giving all the wrong answers. And finally, he sees the power of Jesus and realizes, I have none of that. And in order for me to do the things, Jesus, that you want me to do, I have to do it in your power, not in my power. Then we go into the book of Acts and we see a completely different Peter. And occasionally, flesh Peter keeps popping. He's like, hey, I'm here again. And Paul's like, knock it off. And he has trouble with it. But we run into this situation where Peter has lived a very long life. And he's reflecting back and he's starting to pen his final thoughts and he's trying to communicate his final words. And when he's saying these things, these are things that are incredibly important to him. He says, the end of all things is at hand. Now let me help you guys out. The moment that Jesus got on the cross, died, was raised from the dead, mocked Satan, destroyed death, and then ascended up to God at the right hand of the Father, we are in the end times. I know there's really spooky people who run around like, we're in the end times. Ooh. No, well, they go, duh, we've been in the end times for 2,000 years. Calm it down. Your response of how you want me to respond is not how God wants me to respond. God is saying, hey, you're in the end times. Don't worry. I've got it all under control. And while we're doing this, would you please do these things? Spooky people are like, it's the end of times. Do whatever you want. God's not in control. It's all crazy. And it's like, no, that's really not the answer. Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled. You're the group that's not self-controlled in what I just described. And be sober-minded, not sober-minded, for the sake of your prayers. Well, be self-controlled and sober-minded so that you're praying on the right things. Does that make sense? Discerning what to pray for. Verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Now, keep that in framework. When you're learning how to use your spiritual gifts and people love you, they're gracious to you, okay? Man, I have been around parents that are incredibly gracious to a kid that they're trying to teach something brand new to them, okay? Get that same parent in a car and put them on the roadway. They have no grace for all the individuals on the roadway, okay? There's no love for them, but for this precious child that's part of their family, they have tons of love. And what Peter is saying is have love for the people in your family. And you're going to let them grow up. You're going to let them learn things. You're going to let them see what's going on so that they can grow into a full maturity. He says, keep loving one another earnestly since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Introverts are like, let's get rid of that verse. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Okay, notice in verse 10, it says, as only a few have received a gift. Isn't that what the scripture says? Oh, maybe I misread it. Maybe your translation says only professional Christians receive gifts. Is that what yours says? Super spiritual pastors have gifts. Is that what yours says? Does your scripture say what my scripture says? Each. What does each mean? Everybody. Everybody in Christ has at least a gift. Most people have more than a gift, okay? But regardless, each person who says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God has a gift. Use it. So the next one that it says is hide it and don't let people know you have it until you've perfected the gift so that you can do a grand reveal. Right? Like you're just in your bedroom healing all your stuffed animals. Okay? And I'm not only talking to Chelsea right now at this point in time, but you literally are healing all of your stuffed animals and you're perfecting this for 15 years. And then you get like a sweet outfit and you get some pyrotechnics and some smoke. Okay? Cameron, the healer. And he comes out, oh, I'm about to do it. Been waiting 10 years for this. No, that's not what scripture says. It says, use it. Now here's the next prod. Use it to serve one another. So use it to make yourself look awesome. Use it when it is comfortable for you. Use it when it fits your schedule. Use it when you want to. Is that what the scripture says? No. The scripture says, use it to serve one another. That means use it when someone else needs it. Does that ever fit into your schedule? Does that ever fit into when you're like, hey, pencil me in on Friday. Use my spiritual gift at 10 a.m. No, it never works. It says, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, I've been listening to a lot of teachings on this scripture, and I'll just give you kind of my interpretation, like I've said before, is that God has given different people in the room different gifts to be used for the body, not to be used for selfish gain. Most Christians use it for selfish gain. Why? Because we're prideful, we're abusive, and we destroy things that God gives us, okay? But what happens is God blesses the room and the people of God with gifts, but then I believe that he gives them varying abilities of what they're going to do with some of those things. But this is what I want you guys to understand, is maybe in this room, somebody is going to get the opportunity, and I'll just stay on healing for a second. Somebody in this room will get the opportunity to heal somebody of cancer. Somebody will give the opportunity to heal somebody of a broken bone or a deformed hand or a deformed limb. But what I want you to understand is that you don't show up day one and start praying for someone to come back from the dead. You usually start praying that people would their headaches would stop. You start low and you work your way up. Why? Because you start low and God gives you the confidence to build and 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 to build, to have the courage to walk into a hospital and not have on one of those sweet white coats and not have a stethoscope around your neck. And you're like, no, you don't need to go into surgery. God says you're going to be healed. And all the doctors and nurses look at you like you're a fool. And you're like, oh, you look at me like a fool. I started with headaches. I have been working my way up to this moment. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? You don't jump in at level 7. You can't handle level 7 without going up the ranks. And so what I want to encourage you guys is with the varied areas of grace, have fun with it, okay? It says, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is the one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Some of you guys who've been around me a long time go, oh, that's where walking the strength of the Lord comes from. Yeah. It's in scripture, okay? Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength of God that God supplies in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. If it glorifies you, if it makes you look fantastic, or if it hides you, I don't think that's to the glory of God, okay? To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right. Put that slide, the next slide up, the big one. Now, I moved it around this time. Last week when I taught on it, Ephesians 4 was over where 1 Corinthians 12 is. But I've now moved it over because I actually had it kind of built up how the scriptures go. But now I've moved Ephesians 4 over because these are the roles and these are the people that God has put in place inside of our church to oversee everything that's going on the right-hand side. So just a little bit of review from last week. The gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, these are roles that help oversee the outpouring and the use of all the other gifts that are going on throughout Scripture. So if you missed last week, it was a really short sermon, okay? And so it's on the podcast. I'm sure you can be done with it in about an hour and 5 minutes, and you can get through it pretty quickly. So this week, I've put another slide up. So you can put this next slide up. So I kind of grabbed all the gifts and I put them in the categories. Now let me stop real quick. There is nowhere in Scripture that it says there are categories. This is extra biblical. In other words, this is not biblical, okay? This is a way that I can understand and I can organize and I can see things. Guys, following me? I don't want you to go to another church and go, well, are your spiritual gifts categorized? Because ours are, and we're in the Lord. No, that's not what it is. What I want you to be able to do is to start thinking about discerning which type of giftings does God keep putting me in. Okay, now, it's not which gift do you want, because that's the way it works in America. We want what we don't have. If you have blonde hair, you want brown hair. If you have no hair, you want hair. If you have hair, you're like, why here, Lord? Why can't I have no hair? So you have all these things that we all go through. If you're tall, you want to be short. If you're short, you want to be tall. If you're skinny, you want to be thicker. If you're thicker, you want to be skinnier. That's just who we are as humans. Can we all agree? We want what we don't. Yeah. So what I want you to think about is, as you come into this, one of the ways that you can discern what gift you have is, what does God keep putting you in? Where do you keep finding yourself? Like over and over and over and over again. One of my fun ones is when people come in and they're like, Pastor, if God asked me to serve one more time. I'm like, all right. They're like, I think I have the gift of preaching. I'm like, I don't think you do. People are like, why does God keep giving me messages to communicate to people that points them to how Christ is supposed to be in their lives? And why do they keep rejecting me? I don't want to do that. I don't want to tell people what to do. I just want to set up chairs. Okay, you probably are in the communication group. So look at these groups together with me. We have a serving group. These are people who love giving. They love helping. They love hosting people. They love caring for people. They love serving for people. They love serving. Now, don't get me wrong, there are people in this room that really love serving, but that's not your spiritual gift. The Spirit of God doesn't empower you to do your serving, and you don't point people to Christ when you serve, okay? You're just really good at avoiding what you're supposed to do. That's why you're doing that, okay? So what I want you to think about is remember what I taught last week, and what I taught last week was, what is the Spirit of God empowering in you to do? That if the Spirit of God doesn't show up, you can't do it. It's just you. And by the way, there's a lot of pastors who keep showing up each Sunday, and it's just them, and the Spirit of God's not on them. There's a lot of Christians who are showing up, and it's just them, and the Spirit of God is not in them. That is why we have a sick and incredibly weak church in America. Sit and think about that for a second. Leading, apostleship, overseeing, structure, organization, leadership, which actually falls under leading. That makes total sense. Pastor, shepherd, leading people to water, leading people to places to sleep, leading people to places of being able to learn, leading people into good relationships and out of bad relationships, shepherding people, moving people around. You're like, Pastor, that's manipulation. Done right. It is. Done right. Administration, how in the world does everything work? Where does things need to be? Bills being paid, lights being on, making sure that people have dental and health and all this other stuff that's happening, making sure the rent is paid so we can show up on Sunday. These are important things in administration. Okay, so we have all those pieces that are going on there. Hey, we're gonna have a barbecue. Did anybody buy plates? Administration, okay? Communicating, exhortation, encouraging people, prophesying, speaking about what God is doing, calling out the gifts inside of people, and teaching on Sunday, teaching the Word of God, and communicating to you what it is that you're supposed to do. Okay? Outreach. Michael, can I get a woo-woo? Okay? We got evangelism. We have speaking in tongues, and we have missionary. And I changed the word missionary because it's actually apostle. It's the same one, but it's a different type of apostleship. And so is tongues. Tongues is a different thing too. There's tongues that goes with missionary and apostle that goes to missionary. And these are people who are sent out into communities. And these are people who are sent to different groups of people to share the word of God. That's a sent one. That's a missionary. They're carrying the gospel forward. And then their ability to speak to that people group, God inhabits and empowers them that people hear things they could never hear before. That's an amazing thing, the ability to reach out and bring new people in. Notice the other ones care for the people who are inside. You guys see that? So we got people who care for the people who are inside, and we got people who are going out bringing new people in, and then we care for the people who are inside, and we got people who go out and bring new people in, and we care for the people who are inside. That's important. Scripture says they will know you by your love. How do you care for each other? Okay? There's a precious couple inside of our church. They came to our church for the first few times. They thought we were weird. There's no way you could be this loving. You guys are weird. You are freaks. We are never coming back, right? And they've not stopped coming, okay? They're part of us now. They are part of the loving freaks of God. Like we are this group of people who genuinely care for each other. But we don't, we've learned, because the first 3 years we used to burn out and do everything for everybody and then enjoy burnout and then be angry. But we've learned, what, God, do you want me to do with this person? So we love in boundaries, which is really weird to people too. You have boundaries? That's weird. Okay? Insight, discernment, knowledge, wisdom. These are people who really help me out. One of the ones that I'm like, I'm getting ready and I'm praying about what's the next sermon series that we're going to do in November. Yeah, that's how my brain works. I'm praying already about what we're going to study in January. And so I'm going to key people in the church who have these gifts, and I'm asking, hey, what do you think about this sermon series? What do you think about this sermon series? What do you think about this sermon series? What do you think God wants us to learn as a body? What is it that I need to teach? I could arrogantly decide of what I want to teach you guys. A lot of pastors do that. I have a great idea. I want to teach you, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a book in the fall, and then I'm just going to teach through this, and then everybody's going to buy my book. It's going to be great. Some people do that, and it works for them. That doesn't work for me. I got to go to the discernment crew, and I go, hey, I need your help. They help me out. Then we have interceding people inside of our church, and these are people who intercede in faith. This is prayer. Okay, this week, God has had me interceding on behalf of a lot of you guys. And I've literally just been praying over you guys, not just in our church, around the world I've been praying for people. And God is like, no, I want you to intercede. This is what I want you to do. And it wasn't just, oh, God, help them. Oh, God, help them. No, it was God put this into them. God empower with them with this. God allow them to do this. Very specific things in the prayer time. And so we have people inside of our church who have that. You're the person who's walking around and God's like, hey, pray for this person. And you're like, okay, God, help them. Can I get back to what I'm doing? He's like, no, I want you to pray for these people. And the mistake that most interceders make is they go, okay, God, be with them in power, be with them in strength, love them, keep them from evil, and let them sleep well. Amen. He's like, no, the way interceding works is I say, hey, I want you to intercede with this person. And then you return back to me and you say, what do you want me to pray, King? That's the way interceding works. And oh, by the way, it doesn't have to be long. God, what do you want me to pray? Pray that they would have faith and courage and believe what I'm telling them. Okay, Heavenly Father, I pray right now that this person, you would bless them with faith and courage to believe what you've been telling them. Amen. Good to go. Okay, so we have all this stuff that's going on. So we have these different groups. And so what I'm actually kind of helping you right now is starting to help you discern what gifts you have. You're starting to notice the ones that you could put in. Now, here's the great thing about discernment. It's all in community. Your community knows better which one you fall into than you know. The problem is you don't like your community and you can't trust them. That person's controlling. That person's a flake. That's the pastor. He's prideful. That's the pastor's wife. She likes K-pop. Like, you just, whatever it is, whatever it is that you can put somebody down and decide you don't have to listen to them, you do, don't you? I mean, they don't have good hair product. They shop at Old Navy, not Banana Republic. I'm better than you. I can't listen to you because of your clothing choices. Think of the ways that we do that versus stopping and saying, Spirit of God, what are you saying? All right. So most people ask, what are my spiritual gifts? This places focus on the individual when focus should be placed on the body, the whole church. Let's ask a different question. Let's not ask, what are my spiritual gifts? Let's ask, how can I serve the body? By asking the question differently, we orient ourselves in a different posture and we place ourselves into a different position of rather than trying to build ourselves up, we're choosing to build up the body of Christ. For us here in our local church, the body of Christ is real church. Okay? You can change the name. It doesn't matter. It's still the body of Christ. We can be the First Covenant of Second Lutheran, you know, whatever, Reformed Catholics, whatever you want to do, okay? But it doesn't change. It's still the body. You need to ask, how can I serve the body? And for some of you guys, this is getting you out of selfishness. You're in selfishness all week long, and God doesn't want to bless that. God wants you to learn to be selfless. In other words, Jesus, who came to a dinner, took off his clothes, put a towel around his waist, washed the feet of the disciples, and cared for them and served them, even though he's the one who should be served, and says to them, this is what you'll do, just like me. You will serve. The reality is we want to be served, don't we? That's why I love going out to restaurants when I don't have to pay. I hate going to restaurants when I have to pay. But I love going to restaurants when I don't have to pay. And the person comes over, they're like, would you like more water? I'm like, yeah, I would love more water. Can I get a different glass? This one's been held by me. I need an idea. Each glass I drink needs to be a different cup. And they're like, you're so weird. I'm like, I know, but you're the servant, right? And you guys are like, I don't want to be the servant. I want someone to serve me. But God brings us all together and he says to us as a family, you serve. Stop being conceited and prideful and expect other people to serve you. Point number one, find out what the body needs. What does the body need? Does the body need serving? Does the body need leading? Does the body need communication? Does the body need outreach? Does the body need insight? Does the body need interceding? Like, pray and ask God, God, what does real church need? Some of you, God's going to say, real church needs you to start inviting all your friends and be embarrassed when your friends walk in and see this loving cult of a church that you're a part of. And they get to walk away and go, why do you like these people? They're weird. And you're like, yeah, but weird awesome. Okay? Some of you guys, you're going to pray and you're going to ask God, God, what is it that this body needs? And God goes, I want you to wake up Sunday morning, 8 a.m., and I want you at the doors, and I want you stacking chairs, moving tables. I want you moving around places, and I want you to start getting ready for what God is going to do on Sunday. Some of you guys, God's going to say, you're prayer warriors, you're interceders. I want you there at 8 a.m., and I want you walking the halls, praying for the building, praying for the parking lot, praying for people to wake up and get out of their beds and actually come and hear the King. We're going to have like all of our church here at 8 a.m. walking around doing stuff because it becomes a priority of what does the body need? Okay? Point number two, after learning the needs, pray. After you learn what the needs are, pray. Okay? So you go through the needs. You see, I see this problem. I see this problem. I see this problem. I see this problem. This is where a lot of people who have the gift personal gift of administration and the ability and the talent of organizing stuff get out of control. They pull what I call a Peter. Read about Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter's standing there with Jesus. Peter has a sword. A guy comes to arrest Jesus so Jesus can save us from all of our sins, die on the cross so that we can all have eternity with him, and Peter tries to stop it. Peter pulls his sword out, looks for the weakest dude, and cuts his ear off. Well done, Peter. But that's what some people with administration do, is they don't return back to God and ask God, what are you doing? So some of you guys, you're going to see a problem and immediately you think, oh, fix the problem. No, that's not what spiritual people do. Spiritual people see a problem and then spiritual people ask God, God, what do you want to do about the problem? Fleshly people try to solve the problem as soon as possible and get the pain off of them. And it's not necessarily the good thing to do. Okay? Ask God if this is something he wants you to engage in. Some of you guys, you just have arguments with God just like me. You're like, God, why would you show me something if you don't want me to do anything with it? He's like, because I want to see if you've grown up and matured, because I said, don't touch. I want to see if you will not. And you're like, well, it's so pretty. You don't want me to touch? What, huh? What do you mean, God? This? Is that what you're saying? Like, not to touch this? But I mean, like, because you're like, you don't want me to touch it, right, God? How many of you guys are like this? Are you guys like this? Some of you guys in here, you're like, you really like this. You're like, totally like this. And then some of you guys, somebody bumps into you and you hit it, and you're like, oh my gosh, you made me hit it. It's your fault, not mine, right? We need Jesus. Point number one, find out what the body needs. Point number two, after learning the needs, pray. I actually need to put the word what in there. I just messed up in my grammar. I apologize. Point number three, ask yourself, what fills me up? In other words, when you do something that's of God and it's spiritual, you're jazzed. You're scared out of your mind and you're pumped at the exact same time. You're like, what in the world just happened? Who in the world was that? And can we do it again? Okay, it's like a 13-year-old on a roller coaster, screaming and then yelling, let's get back in line. Okay? What I want you guys to understand is that spiritual gifts cause you to lose control of yourself. You don't have it anymore. And it is uncomfortable and it is not fun, because the world has been teaching you the entire time, control your environment. Okay? God says, be controlled by the Spirit. Do I find godly joy in doing this? Now, let me just be really honest. When you're in disobedience and God is calling you into repentance, you're not going to find joy in what you're doing. Okay? So if you're the prodigal son or you're the prodigal daughter and you're running from something, you're not going to find joy in returning. You're feeling exhausted, you're feeling guilty, you're feeling shameful. And even at the party when the fatted calf is slaughtered, you're still not feeling great. Joy is going to come. In other words, when you start doing what you're supposed to do in the beginning processes, not all the time do you just feel like, man, this is the thing. Most of the time, your flesh is screaming, let's never do that again. And then your flesh tries to keep you from doing it. And your spirit screams, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. And your flesh is no, 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 no. And the flesh is literally looking at the spirit like, this is seriously a reverse of situations. Normally the flesh is yelling, go, 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 go. When the spirit's saying, no, 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 not whoop, it's completely flipped. Do you find godly joy in doing this? Okay? And listen, not human joy, not human pleasure, not human excitement, but literally a contentment and a peace sitting inside of you like, yeah, that's cool. I'm glad I got to do that. When you start to understand the emotions, you can start discerning what it is that God has done with you, okay? Four, seek godly, wise elder counsel. I cannot stress this enough in every single sermon I've ever preached. Seek godly, wise elder counsel. Stop going to idiots and getting advice. If you want to know what not to do, ask them. Okay? I had somebody tell me that the other day. They were like, yeah, I've got some friends that I go to them and I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? And they're like, we should do that. And he's like, immediately I know not to do that because they think it's a good idea. And if I thought it was a good idea, then I realized I was being an idiot in that moment. Go to people who can say yes and can say no. Some of you guys, you're like only people who say yes. They love all of your ideas. They think everything you do is brilliant. They're always with you. And that's that. You need to find somebody who can say, yeah, that's a good idea. Or say, no, that's not a good idea. And you can trust that they can do both. Some of you, you're the opposite. You're an emo, okay? You've got to go and you've got to find everybody who says no. You can't find anybody who says yes. I want you to be able to find people who can do both. Okay? And the pastors and the leaders and the elders of this church need to have the ability to say to you, yeah, and also the ability to go, no. And you need to have the maturity not to lose your mind and stomp off and slam your door. That's what we need in this church. That's part of discernment. Discernment comes in the community and people who go, now here's the thing, I want to be real with you guys. There have been times where somebody has come to me and said something and I've been in a group of people and leaders and I'm like, I'm thinking it's no. And other people are like, I'm thinking it's yes. And I'm like, go for it, let's see. If the Lord is with it, he's going to bless it and we're going to be okay. And it's okay that I'm wrong. Don't feel like you have to be right on every single situation. That's pride again. It's okay to take a swing at something and miss. Try it. Have some fun. Okay? Find someone who can say yes and someone who can say no. And then try it for a period of 6 to 8 weeks. Try it for a period of 6 to 8 weeks. Don't try it for a day. Don't be like, I gave it a really solid 30 minutes. Try, most of you won't even go 30 minutes. Don't even count it as a minute and a half. Okay, let's be real. 45, no, 10 seconds. You went 10 seconds full on spiritual and you're tired and it didn't work and so you're going to quit. No, stick with it for a period of time. Some of you guys, you need to volunteer for children's ministry and be in children's ministry because the spiritual gift of teaching and caring for kids and shepherding and loving them is going to start being produced inside of you. You don't have to be married. You don't have to have children. You don't have to have these qualifications. You just have to be willing to be used by God Almighty. Some of the greatest impact on my children has happened from single men and women in the church. And my kids have benefited greatly from it. You might realize, you know, you get in there and week one, you're terrified and everybody on team knows you're terrified, but they're just pumped you tried and you may give them the courage to try something they're supposed to try. Do you guys get it? And there's no judgment in here. No judgment. Some of you guys, you're going to try some stuff out and you're going to discern in the process. No, this isn't it. Some of you guys, you're going to be like, this is it, but I don't want to do it. Grace. Let's have real conversations. Let's have honest conversations. Let's discern together as a body. Let's discern together as a group what the gifts are. Some of you guys already in this room, God is starting to download and show you what the giftings are in other people in the room. He's already starting. I'm prophesying right now. You guys don't understand the gift. He's already starting in this room to reveal what the gifts are in this room. Means God's already at work. The question is, are we going to join him? And here's the thing. You've always wanted to go on an insane adventure. How do I know that? What was the last movie you watched? That's designed in us as humans to go on this great adventure and to be part of a great story and to be a part of something that's incredibly hard and difficult. And it looks like we're going to lose. But in the last second, God shows up in his power and he does it. But in somebody else's life, and I want to virtually watch it. Okay? Take time for 6 to 8 weeks. Ask God to empower the gift and teach you. What an important prayer. When you go into children's ministry, when you show up to set up and tear down, when you're part of the worship team, when you're part of Bible study, when you're on the sound team, when you're part of Kindred, when you're part of Beer and Bible study, when you're part of the singles group, when you're part of youth, show up and say to God, would you please empower the gift that's inside of me and teach me? Present yourself to God and watch him show you what he wants to do. Study. Learn about the gift. There's nothing wrong with that. There's many people before you who have had the gifting. Learn about it. Study it. See how people have used it wrong. See how people have used it right. Okay? The next thing, role play. Okay, find a group of people who have the light gift and practice using the gift. What would it look like? Some of you guys, you need to practice praying for people to be healed of a headache. You need to do it. Find somebody and be like, hey, can I practice praying on you that you would be healed of a headache? And people are like, that's really weird. I don't have a headache. And you're like, oh yeah, you're not in my church. That doesn't make sense. And find somebody in the church and go, hey, I really feel like God is, I want to pray and see if I can get rid of some headaches. Some of you guys need to walk into the room and you're practicing. Does anybody have a headache? Does anybody's back hurt? Some of you guys don't realize that people are in pain and it's an opportunity for you to glow close in Christ. And so God has made some of us uncomfortable today so that you can step out and start being who you are. I know you guys are thinking like, that's so weird. Why would God put things in the body so that we could function like the body, so we could use our gifts to build up the body so that he could be glorified? That would be weird. No, that's what he's doing. Role play, practice, okay? Then some of you guys, you're gonna be on probation. Okay, when you practice, think about this. I was talking to Holly this week and we were talking about going through the nursing program. Many of you guys who've ever had an important job where you can actually injure people, understand this is the process, isn't it? You get hired, right? You get hired. Then they tell you to read all this information and go through all the HR manuals and say all the stuff that you won't do and you won't get in trouble, right? Okay? Then you have to role play whatever your job is. I mean, if it's an important job. If it's not an important job, you don't even know what role play is, okay? Okay, but if it's an important job, you got to role play. You got to practice on dummies usually before they touch you, let you touch real things, okay? And then you have to practice on real things. But when you're practicing on real things, you have an expert next to you. Right? And that expert can discern if you've got the gift or not. Agreed? That expert can be like, you probably want to be in retail. And I'm just not against retail, okay? But there's another thing is we don't want some of those people who are not fashion conscious in retail. We need them somewhere else, okay? Then the next thing you do is you practice with someone, they observe you, and then you're on probation for a period of time, and you're kind of functioning on your own. And they're watching you with a little less supervision, and you get to go out and kind of do things on your own. And then pretty soon, you're just functioning in the role, and you're just doing it. Nobody's watching you. You're just out, and you're making things happen, and leading the people to Jesus on the CTA, inviting people to church, healing headaches wherever you're at. I mean, whatever you're up to and whatever you're doing, serving people, you need some water? Here you go. Look like you're really thirsty. You've been thirsty for a long time, huh? It's not just water that you've been thirsting for, huh? Yeah, but bam, people coming to Jesus. Start with some Kirkland water, and then bam, you're in, okay? And then the next thing, and some of you guys get really frustrated with this, and I'm talking to a couple of you right now. You used to function, you used to get to go out and do it all day long. You used to be the person who got to touch people and to do things. And then God goes, now you're gonna train and oversee other people, and you don't get to do it anymore. Because you used to be able to do it with one, and now I'm gonna make you exponential, and I'm gonna allow your ministry to grow, that you are gonna oversee 20 people who are gonna do 20 times more than what you did. And we have to move to that position of training and overseeing. So you're like, Pastor, that seems like you're already preaching next week's sermon. Yeah, it all goes together. What I want you to understand is this is how you discern. You discern in community. You train in community. Some of you guys, you're like, man, I really feel like God is putting on me that I have the gift of outreach. Talk to Pastor Mike. Go to Pastor Mike. Tell Pastor Mike, I feel like I have the gift of inviting people to come in. I have the gift of sharing Christ with people. I have a passion that I want every chair in this room to be filled. Go talk to Pastor Mike. Okay? Pastor Mike's going to be like, okay, we got to pray. And they're like, no. Tell me the 7 steps of what I'm supposed to do. He's like, we don't know what God's doing. Let's just show up. Some of you get all frustrated. Ugh. I mean, the Bible is so clear on how every step goes. How come you're not? By the way, the Bible's not like, depend on the Spirit of God, right? Okay, let's review real fast. Point number one, find out what the body needs. It's how you discern. You go to God. God, what does the body need? Point number two, after learning what the needs are, pray. Point number three, ask yourself what fills me up. Now, sometimes God's gonna have you do stuff that's not gonna fill you up. You just gotta be obedient, okay? Seek godly, wise elder counsel. Find other people around you, share with them, hey, I really feel like this is what God wants me to give to the body. Notice how I didn't say this is my spiritual gift. I really feel like this is what I'm supposed to give to the body, okay? And then try it out for a period of time and train. And be okay with feedback of people going, no, I don't think this is you. You've dropped 7 babies. It's not. When you vomited, when you heard that kid might have a little bit of gas, probably not you. That's not you, okay? Remember, it's a spiritual gift when God's Spirit empowers it and leads it. We're going to talk about abilities and personality later on. It is a spiritual gift when God's Spirit empowers it and leads it. Now, let me help you out. Just because God has blessed you with a spiritual gift doesn't mean you get to use it all the time. We got to destroy that myth right now. Just because God has blessed you with the gift of teaching doesn't mean that it's always time for me to teach. The people I'm talking to may not be listening. It may not be time to share some information with people. So God may go, you know what, Nathan, I want you to teach, and then I want you to remain dormant for a period of time, and when I'm ready, I'll call you back up again. Just because you have these spiritual gifts doesn't mean you have them at your beck and call. Do you see how that builds pride back in again? Do you see how that builds selfishness and control back in again? Do you see how that makes us God and not God God? Anybody who's dealt with the Holy Spirit, let's just be really honest. Where the Holy Spirit comes from, where the Holy Spirit goes, how long the Holy Spirit stays, what the Holy Spirit does when it's here. Don't you feel like you do this a lot when you talk about the Holy Spirit? So let's stop trying to control it, because guess what? It's not going to work, okay? Here's some upper division. Some of you guys in this room, God is going to have you pray over people to pass on a gift that he has given to you. This is upper division stuff. This is called the laying on of hands. Now, here's the thing. At the very end of our sermon series right now, I have a plan that we're going to do laying on of hands. Scripture tells us, do not lay hands on fast. Be very slow and wise about what you do and why you do what you do. Something that I have done as a pastor is I have met some other people who have spiritual gifts I don't have, and I have spent time with them and have asked them, would you please pray over me and impart that spiritual gift on me? Some people have said, absolutely, yes, the Lord has said I can do this. And some people have said, no, it's not for me to give. That doesn't mean I don't keep asking. Scripture tells us, ask for the gifts, want the gifts, desire the gifts. So some of you guys have spiritual gifts that you can bless people with. One of the gifts that we have to bless in this room is the blessing of evangelism inside of this group. We have to release the spirit of evangelism, which is the Spirit of God, on our church. We have gifts that we need to have multiply inside of this church. But what we have to have are vessels and containers who are willing to do what God wants them to do. Okay? All right. Here's our application. Carry a spiritual pager. Some of you guys are like, pager? Pastor? Like a beeper? Yeah. In the 1980s, when pagers came out, my uncle was still alive, and my uncle was a counselor, and he worked part of a counseling organization. I remember this one time as a kid, I was very vivid. We were at Disneyland, and we were standing in line, and my uncle's pager went off, and it was like a loud pager going off. So you guys remember what that is. Young kids in this room, think of like your smartphone, bigger than your smartphone is, but clipped to your side, and it made loud noises, like a microwave. So we're standing in line. So you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Like, da-da-da, oh, your meal's done. No, okay. So he would grab it, and this was before the numbers were on the pager. It was just like, bah, bah. So he had to call a number to find out what it was. So we went to a payphone, and he dialed the number, and he was on call. And what I want you guys to understand is, as Christians, God places gifts in you, and you're on call. You're just walking around, doing your thing, and then all of a sudden, God's like, beeper king, beep, 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 and you're like, nah, that's probably not you, Lord. No, God's like, hey, I've got something I want you to use. Well, what do you got to do? You got to look that the pager went off, call in, Lord, what do you want me to do, and have God tell you what to do. Pretty cool application, huh? Some of you guys, you are covert, secret Christian operatives this week. You're going to be walking around at any moment in time, God's just going to give you some information and say, hey, this is what I want you to do. Should you accept this mission? Right? Some of you guys, you need to accept the mission. Amen? Okay, next one. Some of you guys want a little bit more help. Here's something I want you to do. You can go, is there a website that's there? It's actually, it should be above that. There it is. Giftstest.com. Giftstest.com. Now, I'm going to give you guys this information, and then I'm going to completely undermine everything I tell you about it. Okay? First of all, you can go on to this, and this can give you a starting point. You understand what I'm saying? A starting point. You can go on. You can take this little quiz. It's going to ask you a bunch of questions. You probably are going to be selfish, and you're also going to be insecure, so you're not going to answer really well, which means when you bring me your test answers, I believe they're jaded. That's just how I respond, okay? But this can give you a starting place and a conversation place to start talking about. The problem is that, this, first of all, God doesn't anywhere in Scripture say these are the only gifts. Paul gives a list of gifts that are pretty big and gigantic, and they're pretty much roles and overseeing. So are there other gifts? Okay, I believe there's a spiritual gift of coding. People who work on computers, there are people that there's a spiritual gift for coding. Okay, you are empowered by God to do things in networks and computers and communication to get the gospel out so that people can hear it like you can't believe. There's nowhere in Scripture that it talks about, you know, language, CSS. Well, maybe you're like tongues, but it's with your fingers. That's awesome. But some of you guys got that joke. But what I want you guys to understand is this unfortunately can box God in. You guys understand that problem? By you saying these are the only gifts and the only way you find out is by this? No. The reality would be is that you took this gifts test with the whole church and we all voted on whether we agreed with the answers or not. You realize how long that would take? But that's what the community does, okay? So have fun looking at that one. The other thing is make sure that you go to other spirit-filled Christians when you get this test and talk to them about these things, okay? And share with them what the different things are that you have. All right, next week, come back. We're gonna talk in even more depth about using those gifts, okay? No pressure, okay? This is like an 8-more-week sermon series, so you don't have to have this all done. And by the way, if you're a Christian, you're gonna be doing this for the rest of your life. Relax. If you're at a level one, have a blast. Allow God to take you through level one, move you up to level two, okay? There's somebody in our church, and I'll give one more example. Worship team, come on up. I, as your pastor, am so frail and broken at times, and that's why I still need Jesus. I remember a precious person, we were talking about something, and one day our speaker broke, and we knew that the speaker was broken. The speaker wasn't working. It was distorting. There were all these problems, and so humanly, I, as a pastor, decided, well, we'll buy new speakers, because when you get speakers, you have to buy them in pairs. If you buy one at a time, it's like tires. It's not good to buy one. People do it. It's not good. So we bought a whole other set of speakers, and I had the speakers in the basement, and someone came up to me, and it was a child. And the child came up to me, and I said, Pastor, why aren't we using the speakers? And I told him the whole story about everything that was going on. And the child looked at me and said, can we pray for the speaker to be healed? And I thought, that's stupid. Why would we do that? It's broken. But not wanting to crush this precious little child's heart, I was like, sure, go ahead, pray for the speaker. So we walked over, and she put her hand on the speaker, and we prayed, and the speakers are in the basement, and the speaker's healed. It works. And I sat there, and by the way, that speaker still reminds me that I'm stupid. You guys have some things in your life that remind you of that? I've got them hanging in the basement. You guys are having a barbecue and having fun, wondering why I'm all sad. I'm just looking at the speaker. I am reminded that God can do anything that he wants to do, amen? He can fix something that's mechanical and broken, and he can fix something that's physical, he can fix something emotional, he can fix something spiritual. He just needs people who are willing enough to ask, hey, can we pray for that? Amen? Okay, stand with me and let's ask Heavenly Father to fill us up. Lord, fill us up, bless us with your spirit. Bless us with the power to discern. God, I admit and I confess we're going to move our church into a place of faith and fear, which means, God, we need to meditate on the truth of who you are and not worry about what we think might happen, knowing that you are sovereign and you are God. You, God, take control. You, God, speak to us however you want to speak to us, whenever you want to speak to us. But please, Heavenly Father, through the power of your Spirit, help us discern what the body needs and how you want us to respond. It's in your name we pray. Amen.